You know, when the fellowship gets louder, you know you're getting deep. I love it. That's when we say, okay, now it's time to come back. And then you continue the conversation later. I got a question for you. Hello, Andrew, you want to call everybody back in? All right, I got a question for you.
In your life. You don't need to say it, just write it down. Or share with the person next to you. Got it down? Okay. That means you really require in your life, like, I need that. I remember a few years ago, this Calvin student said, well, I need Porsche. I need that in my life. And I asked him why. Well, because everybody else is having it. Oh, okay. So, what is that one thing? And as we talk about today, walking humbly before the Lord, I hope that today you'll get a glimpse of what God wants one thing out of you. Amen? So just go ahead and pray and we'll start. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for the rains. It cools everything down. God, it's so good to see everything so fresh and green and walking out. It's so cool, Lord. It's so incredible. I just love the summers in Michigan. And God, we thank you for each one of us here. We're bringing us safely. Father, we come before you, Lord. And God, I pray that today's message will be a life-changing for a lot of us. What do you require of us, Lord? God, we're going to look at that today. We may have many needs in our life, but God, we want to have one thing which you want us to do. God, we thank you so much for this morning. Open our hearts and our minds so we can be energized with the word. We love you in his name. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Micah. Chapter 6. It is in the Old Testament. It's almost to the end. Okay. Chapter 6. And verse 8. We there? Chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, God was a little bit frustrated with his people of Israel during that time. And he's trying to connect with them. He's trying to make sense. And God just uses Micah and just kind of talks to the people and say, hey, listen, it's very simple. What I require of you is just to be humble, to walk with me. Your God. How is your God doing? How is your relationship got? Let alone walking humble, but how's your walk? You know, this is going to be a lifetime question. And we'll be challenged. And I hope that today, that as I talk about what it means to walk humbly with God, I hope that you'll embrace this topic. I hope that you'll embrace it in good times and in bad times. I hope that we'll learn it in a good way and not the hard way, but we will learn this. This is something which I'm convinced in my life now, that we have to learn it faster the better. You know, we try to do that with the kids when they were young. The try to do that with young couples when we counsel. Hey, you know, this is important. Humility is so important in our lives. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And here Mike is saying, just this, that's what God wants. God just wants you to walk humbly. You know, sometimes we can do so much of activities, right? I mean, we can go do this and do that, and I want to do that program and this and that, and we're trying to feel good, right? It's okay to do all that, but at the end of the day, are we walking with God humbly? So we're going to look at a few scriptures. Be patient with me as we go through scripture after scripture. So your fingers are ready. We're going to go quick. All in 10 minutes. You guys ready? Oh, only three people said yeah. Bring it on. All right. Proverbs chapter 3, 34. Proverbs 3, 34. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. Who gives us grace? He wants to give it to you. He gives to those who are humble. Amen. Chapter 11, verse 2. Chapter 11, verse 2. Proverbs. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. You know, we all want to have wisdom, right? We want to have wisdom in our lives. But what's it going to take? It's going to take. You know, sometimes in life we're caught off guard, right? Either we get fired or somebody put us down. And, you know, we have a bad relationship. And we just feel disgraced about life. And, you know, it's a shame. And we don't know how to face all that. And, you know, a lot to do with pride. A lot to do with pride. But God's saying, hey, I want to give grace for those who are humble at heart. Proverbs 16. They're moving along pretty fast. Good. 16. And pick up an 18. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. You know, there's a difference. There's a difference. God doesn't want us to be destroyed. Does anyone in this room want to be destroyed? And bring it on. I want to be destroyed. No. We don't want that. We want more grace. We want wisdom, right? We want to be that connection with the Lord. But it's going to take a humble spirit for that to happen. Psalms 25. It's the book before Proverbs. Psalms 25. And here David has some deep convictions. Actually, this is a song. This is a song unto thee, O Lord. You know, they broke this whole psalm into a song and made it a psalm. Amen? So it has, you know, to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. In you I trust, you, O God. Show me your ways, O Lord. Guide me. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy. And goes on and he says, remember not the sins of my youth. And then let's pick up reading verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. And so here David is going on saying, hey, you know what? God will guide the humble. God can work with only a humble spirit. God can't work with somebody who's really proud. So the question is you have to wrestle, am I humble before God? Am I walking humbly with the Lord? Amen? Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. We don't have time to read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of the story of Hezekiah. If you're familiar with the story, Hezekiah is going to die. Okay? He's going to die. His time is up. God says, things are not, my house is not in order. And he says, you know what? Hezekiah, I think you're done. Let him walk. He said, oh, okay, that's fine. I'll die then. No! He went up to the Lord and he pleaded with God, God, I don't want to die. I want to live. And he pleads with God, his case. Said, you know what, God? Listen, let's make a deal. Let's negotiate my timeline. Give me 15 years. That's what he said. He prayed to God. He cried to God. He pleaded. God said, okay. You know what God said? It was a quick response to prayer. God said, I listened to your prayer and I saw your tears. Did you know that God can actually see your tear? It's deep. He's very attentive. God's very attentive. When we are brokenhearted, when we are vulnerable, when we are open, he wants to connect with you and me. And he can only connect when we are humble in heart. God, I need you. You know, you sing that song all the time. We love that song, God, I need you, right? But do we only need God while we sing, or we need God? Hezekiah prays at the prayer. We're going to look at the prayer right now. And he's so fired up. I mean, he even says, I'm the prime of my life. I must go to the gates of death. And he goes on. And let's pick up reading. Verse 14. I cried like a swift or thrush. I mourned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I'm troubled, O Lord. Come to my aid. But what can I say? He has spoken to me and he himself have done this. Isaiah 38:14. Not enough 15 now. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. And so now God is allowing this to happen in his life. And Hezekiah is saying, well, even through anguish of my soul, I need to stay humble. Being humble is not when good times, but even in hard times, challenging times. We choose when we want to be humble, right? How many times the Bible says, be humble, be beatitudes, right? Jesus says in Matthew 5, the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's all about humility, having a sober heart. We don't need to impress anyone in this world. I get tempted. We all get tempted to impress one another. And we end up getting arrogant and prideful. We don't need to impress anybody. Just need to be humble before God. That's all God requires of you and me. That's it. That's it, guys. Now we can go home. No. We got a few. But how is that going, brothers and sisters and friends? If you're visiting with us, welcome. We talk about heart. We talk about heart. Christ came. It's all about the heart. It's not the to-do list. Oh, I need to be in the church. Tell me how I need to be. How do I need to sit in the church? Upright? Lean back? Hands folded? On my knees? What should I do? How much money should I put? You know, give me the rules. Give me this. I'm insecure. You don't give me the rules, I'm going to find another church. Give me a structure. Well, structure, God's saying, is about you. Do you struggle being humble? I shared many stories in the past. God takes you through a ride. take me again. He'll take you again. But are we right, ready for the Lord? Hezekiah was got fired up in his prayer. If you can be fired up through the hard times, that's a good thing. Because then in good times, it's a piece of cake, right? But if you're down in good times, then there's a real heart issue. If everything is going well, I mean, family is doing good, you got a job, and you have a great car, and you got savings, and everything's going well, and you're still not happy, it's a heart issue. Wait till bad things happen, then you're going to really struggle. It's because when good times came, we didn't learn to be humble. So now we're learning it hard way when bad things happen. It's all different for everybody. For Hezekiah, it was that. God listened. God gave 15 years more. Verse 16, Lord, by such things men live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. He's grateful. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. He finally saw light. I get it now. I know why I got anguish and suffering. Because my own benefit. It's one of the hardest things to surrender and accept God. It's a process. It's a process. How do we learn to be humble? It's one thing here, I get it, I need to be humble. Now what? Well, we need each other. We need each other. We need a small group. We need a triad. We need to let yourself be helped. And I'm so fired about the church. We're having triads now. Praise God. If you're not still part of one, I want to encourage you. Talk to me or one of the family group leaders. We all got to be plugged in a small group. And you can practice humility. I love the triad, Otha, me, and Brent. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. We've been hanging out for the last few years. We had some issues. But we are at peace now. We're all a different color. We got black, white, and brown. Don't look at the names. It's different. It's a joke. End of the month. You know, we're going to do next week conflict resolution, part one, and we're going to do part two. And so, both of me and Brett, we're going to have a sharing about our heart. How we struggle in our relationship, our culture, and our background, and our pride, and we're going to lay it out all before the church. Amen to that. So bring your friends, black, white, brown, bring them all, pack this place up. They're going to talk some deep stuff. Because I respect these brothers, and they have helped me. We have helped Brett. Brett's helped. It's beautiful. It's a three-way. It's awesome. And we'll all help each other. Amen to that. It's a good thing. There's no anguish. If there's anguish in the triad, it's for your benefit. It's going to help you. There are times when I didn't feel like talking to Brett and Otha, but I knew that was God putting them in my life that I need to be humble. That's it. That's the benefit. I don't want to learn on this on the deathbed. I want to learn right now while I'm sitting properly. So triads, I'm advocating this. If you're not part of it and you feel a little bit funny about it, it's biblical. Jesus had his own triad. He spoke to hundreds of thousands, but he had Peter, James, and John, personal, one-on-one. Let's go to the mountain. Let's go to the lake. Let's go catch the fish. Let us go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and I want to be vulnerable there. It's all very biblical. Just want to practice. Amen to that. God saw Hezekiah's heart, his humility. God see our humility? Maybe he doesn't see our tears, but does he see our humility? He's listening. Did you pray today? You fell asleep. Oh, man, I heard the first part of the prayer. You fell asleep. All right. God's still waiting. He has no attitude. He's waiting, inspiring, putting people in your life. Maybe through the song, through a hug, through a relationship. He wants us to be humble. Walk humbly with the Lord for the rest of our lives. James 2:21. We got three more and we are done. James 2. This week, Pam and I celebrate our anniversary. We're heading to Colorado. We're going to go into the mountains. And we're going to sing and dance. I don't know. What else? We're going to complete 28 years. It's going to be awesome. James 2, 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's one thing to believe in it. It's one thing to memorize it. Do you accept it? When you read the scriptures, do you accept it? Oh, I don't know if I can do that. Then you're not accepting it. Oh, it's too challenging. Then you're not accepting it. That means you're saying, I have a better way. I don't think you and I have a better way. I mean, if you have, let me know. I mean, we got to share with one another. But this is what God said. This is what James said. This is Jesus' brother, James. He can save you. And I want to encourage you, if you're not having deep Bible studies or studying out the book of Psalms, I want to encourage you to really humble yourself before the Word. Maybe you're not comfortable humbling with one another. Start off with God. That'll help you. Because then the heart changes, then you can make it work. Amen to that. In Matthew 18, I'm going to close it up with the last scripture. We know the story. Jesus with the disciples, and very humbling scripture. It's encouraging, but it's also convicting. In Matthew 18, verse 1 to 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and laid him, had him stand among them. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, I'm going to call this time. They're here. I'm going to call two children. Come and stand among us. Okay, look at them. Isn't that awesome? Jesus saying, look at them. Thanks for being awesome kids. They're finally the same height. It took a while. They're friendly. They give me hugs. They're open. They're carefree. They're trusting. Comprehende? Huh? They're simple. They're learning. Why do we have a hard time being like a child? Oh, I want to be an adult. No. It's different. Yeah, be an adult, but child at heart. child at heart. You learn from children. If you haven't served the kids' kingdom, I want to encourage you to go. Pam and I did for a whole semester, 4 months in Chicago. When our kids were 7 and 10, we learned a lot. I learned to be humble. Seriously. It's really kids who you don't know. It's fun. Thank you, guys. Let's give a hand. And the Lopez have done a great job. Great job in raising them up and helping them and guiding them. And appreciate that. And they're heading the kids' kingdom. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. So we're going to close it up. It's 11:15. There's only one thing God requires of you and me. It's to humbly walk with the Lord. We are a church. We're a family. We're not perfect. You all know by now. No one's perfect in this room. We will never be perfect, but we want to strive to emulate, to imitate this character. And that's why we have small groups, we have midweeks, we have family groups, we can be a family, build family, help one another out, and we can grow spiritually. Amen to that. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We love you so much for your love, for your grace. God, you're so awesome. Thank you, God, for scriptures. Lord, I'm so convicted by Hezekiah. I don't know what I will do if I know I'm going to die. Lord, I pray, God, that we will talk to you from the heart. Whether it's good or bad. And Hezekiah struggled. He was begging. He was crying out to you. And God, you saw his tears and gave him 15 more years. That's how bold we can be with God. God answers them. Lord, help us to be those kind of folks where we ask God for a job, for our finances, for our marriage, for our family, for our kids, for each other. God, I pray for the new building in the fall. I'm praying, Lord, if it's your will, that you'll give us Calvin, or you'll give us another hall, another beautiful place, Lord. And God, that we pray that it will happen the next this month. God, thank you, God, for church. Oh, we love you. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up.